Captain's log, stardate 1513.1. Our position, orbiting planet M113. On board the Enterprise, Mr. Spock, temporarily in command. On the planet, the ruins of an ancient and long dead civilization. Ship Surgeon McCoy and myself are now beaming down to the planet's surface. Our mission, routine medical examination of archaeologist Robert Crater and his wife Nancy. Routine, but for the fact that Nancy Crater is that one woman in Dr. McCoy's past.
Kirk McCoy and crewman Darnell approach a stone building.
Shall we pick some flowers, Doctor? When a man visits an old girlfriend, she usually expects something like that.
Is that how you get girls to like you? By bribing them?
Doesn't seem to be anybody around, does it?
Well, they'll be along. You rushed us down 10 minutes early.
They pass through a doorway into the ancient Inca-like building.
Professor Crater? Professor? Mrs. Crater?
Darnell wanders off. Kirk checks his tricorder scanner.
Nervous, Dr. McCoy?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. I see we walked out of each other's lives 10 years ago. She married Crater, and for all I know, she may have forgotten me completely.
All the bonehead ideas, Jim. How do I let myself in for things like this?
A young, dark-haired woman comes in from outside.
Leonard.
Nancy.
Hello.
McCoy takes her hand.
It's good to see you.
Let me look at you.
You haven't aged a day.
She raises an eyebrow and turns to Captain Kirk.
Oh, this is Captain Jim Kirk of the Enterprise.
Kirk sees a woman in her mid-30s.
Mrs. Crater, I've heard a great deal about you.
All good, I hope.
And crewman Darnell.
How do you do, ma'am?
Darnell sees a young platinum blonde.
Something wrong, Darnell?
Oh, excuse me, sir, but... ma'am, if I didn't know better, I would swear that you were somebody I left behind on Wrigley's Pleasure Planet. It's funny, you're exactly like a girl that...
A little less mouth, Darnell.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to, I mean, I know it's impossible, of course.
Why don't you step outside, Darnell?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Maybe I'll step outside, too.
What? And let Plum examine me all alone?
Plum?
Plum.
Nancy goes over to McCoy.
A nickname I gave Leonard when we were very young.
I'll wait for the professor and I'll catch you both at once.
I'd better go get Bob. Every time he starts digging, he forgets time, sleep, food, everything. Be back in a minute.
Nancy saunters past Darnell as the platinum blonde.
It's quite warm here, isn't it?
Tossing Darnell a piece of rag she's carrying, she carries on with a deliberately provocative hip-swinging walk, casting a seductive look at him over her shoulder. Darnell checks to see Kirk and McCoy are out of sight before hurrying after her.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. The Man Trap. The Enterprise orbits a red and white planet. On the planet's surface, Kirk and McCoy wait inside the stone building.
Captain's log. Additional entry. Since our mission was routine, we had beamed down to the planet without suspicion. We were totally unaware that each member of the landing party was seeing a different woman. A different Nancy Crater.
Crater comes in.
Professor Crater, I'm Captain Kirk. This is...
The Roy Captain and the intrepid doctor cross interstellar space to preserve our health. Oh, your sense of duty is overwhelming. Now, will you please go back where you came from and tell whoever issues your orders to leave me and my wife alone? Professor. We need additional salt against the heat. Aside from that, we're doing very well, thank you.
I'm pleased to hear you're doing well, but I'm required to confirm that fact.
Doubtless, the good surgeon will enjoy prodding and poking us with his arcane machinery. Go away, we don't want you.
What you want is unimportant right now. What you will get is what is required by the book.
Quote, all research personnel on alien planets are required to have their health certified by starship surgeon at one-year intervals. Like it or not, Professor, as commander of the starship, I'm required
to show your gold braid to everyone. You love it, don't you?
He's all yours, Plum. Dr. McCoy.
Sit down and breathe deeply, please.
Did I hear you call him Dr. McCoy?
You did.
Crater turns his back and sits.
McCoy. I've heard Nancy speak of a Dr. McCoy.
Well, that's me. Didn't she mention I was here?
You've seen Nancy?
She went out to get you.
Well, you've seen her, too. You were with the good doctor.
Yes, why?
I think it's just that it gives me great pleasure to know that she's gotten to see an old friend and has a chance for some company. It was different for me. I enjoy solitude. But for a woman, you understand, of course.
Well, it certainly hasn't aged her. She looks exactly as I knew her 12 years ago. Amazing, Jim. Like a girl of 25.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Captain. Sit down. I seem to have forgotten my manners.
Quite all right.
McCoy scans Crater's chest.
I'm not joking, Jim. She hasn't aged a day. There's not a gray hair in her head.
She's got some gray bones. Excuse me, Professor. She's a handsome woman, yes, but hardly 25.
McCoy throws Kirk an annoyed, defiant look.
You've seen my wife with the eyes of your past attachment, Doctor. I'm sure when Nancy lets... When you see her again, she'll be of a believable age.
Well, at any rate, she doesn't look a day over 30.
Genuine affection. I'm glad you still feel it for her. Leonard, isn't it? She's a fine woman.
Open your mouth.
Well, I thought the machine was...
The machine is capable of almost anything. But I'll still put my trust in a healthy set of tonsils. Now, open your mouth.
Kirk draws his phaser pistol and runs outside. McCoy and Crater follow, looking about for Nancy. Nancy is standing beside Darnell's body, which lies on its back on a rocky ledge. She turns to McCoy. Kirk examines Darnell. His face is covered with circular red blotches. Kirk pulls something green from his mouth.
McCoy.
McCoy feels for a pulse.
Dead, Jim. That's strange. Red mottling all over his face.
What happened? What do you suppose happened, Captain? You beamed down a crewman who doesn't know better than to eat an untested plant.
I've just lost a crewman, Mrs. Crater. I want to know what happened.
Well,
Just take it easy, Nancy. Just tell us what you know.
She glances at McCoy and calms herself.
Well, I was just...
Kirk and Crater watch her intently.
I couldn't find Bob, and... I was coming back. I crossed to your crewman. I wanted him to know I wasn't offended by the things he'd said back there.
She looks at McCoy.
You remember? That I noticed he had a Borgia plant in his hand. Before I could say anything, he'd taken a bite from it. He fell. His face all twisting and...
McCoy is staring at her.
Leonard, you look at me like you don't believe me.
No. It's not that at all. It's something entirely different.
She clenches her hand into a fist and chews her knuckles.
Jim, I suppose we could complete these examinations later.
We don't need an examination. You can see that. Perhaps you'd better take your man and...
We're well aware of our next duties, Professor. We'll complete your examinations tomorrow.
He takes out his communicator.
Transporter room.
Transporter room, Captain.
Lock onto us. Three beaming up.
Locked onto you, Captain.
Salt. You did ask him about more salt tablets.
I'll take care of the provisioning, Nancy.
Crater gives his wife a meaningful look. On board the Enterprise, Spock sits in the captain's chair. The chief communications officer, Uhura, a black woman of about 30, steps down to him.
Miss Uhura, your last subspace log contained an error in the frequencies column.
Mr. Spock, sometimes I think if I hear that word frequency once more, I'll cry.
Cry?
I was just trying to start a conversation.
Well, since it is illogical for a communications officer to resent the word frequency, I have no answer.
No, you have an answer. I'm an illogical woman who's beginning to feel too much a part of that communications council. Why don't you tell me I'm an attractive young lady, or ask me if I've ever been in love? Tell me how your planet Vulcan looks on a lazy evening when the moon is full.
Spock looks puzzled.
Vulcan has no moon, Miss Uhura.
I'm not surprised, Mr. Spock.
Transporter room to bridge. Landing party returning. They report one death.
Uhura starts.
Bridge acknowledging.
Uhura stares at Spock.
I don't believe it.
Explain?
You explain. That means that somebody is dead and you just sit there. It could be Captain Kirk. He's the closest thing you have to a friend.
Lieutenant, my demonstration of concern will not change what has happened. The transporter room is very well manned and they will call me if they need my assistance.
Uhura turns angrily back to her console. In the dispensary, McCoy covers Darnell's body with a green sheet.
She called it a Borgia plant.
Something new to me.
Bridge the dispensary.
Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
Borgia plant listed in library record tapes as carbon group 3 vegetation, similar to Earth nightshade family. Alkaloid poison. Chemical structure common to most Class M planets. About the strange mottling on his facial skin surface, there is no reference to this symptom.
Well, then this man wasn't poisoned.
Stand by, Mr. Spark. She says she saw him eat the plant.
Well, she's mistaken. I know alkaloid poison. What to look for? There's not a trace of it in his body.
There were bits of the plant in his mouth.
Jim, don't tell me my business. He could not have swallowed any. My instruments would have picked up any trace of it whatsoever.
Then what kills a healthy man?
I'll tell you something else. This man shouldn't be dead. I can't find anything wrong with him. According to all the tests, he should get up and just walk away from here.
Kirk shrugs helplessly and lifts up a corner of the green sheet. McCoy perches on a desk.
I don't know. I'll have the test double-checked. My eyes may be tricking me. But I swear, Jim, when I first saw her, she looked just as I'd known her 10 years ago. Granted, at the moment, I may have been looking at her through a romantic haze.
How your lost love affects your vision, Doctor, doesn't interest me. I've lost a man. I want to know what killed him.
Yes, sir.
Kirk strides out of the dispensary, leaving McCoy taken aback.
Captain's log, stardate 1513.4. In orbit around planet M113. One crewman, member of the landing party, dead by violence. Cause unknown. But we are certain the cause of death was not poison.
Message, Captain. Starship base on Corinth 4 requesting explanation of our delay here, sir. Space Commander Dominguez says we have supplies he urgently needs.
Tell Jose he'll get us chili peppers when we get there. Tell him they're prime Mexican reds. I handpicked them myself, but he won't die if he goes a few more days without them. Got it?
Got it, Captain.
Well?
No mistake in our record tapes. Borgia plant, sole deadly property is alkaloid poison.
And Professor Crater and wife?
Check out perfectly. They arrived here nearly 5 years ago, visited by various vessels, made fairly heavy shipments out of artifacts and reports. However, there has been a marked drop in shipments during the last year.
Dispensary to Captain.
Kirk here.
We found something.
What is it?
I'd rather not put it on the speaker.
Kirk and Spock hurry to the turbo lift. In the dispensary, Spock looks at the readouts on the screen above Darnell's body.
Fascinating. So improbable, we almost didn't check it.
What?
Sodium chloride. Not a trace of it.
This man has no salt in his body
at all. Can you explain that, Doctor?
I can't. Except what we normally carry in our bodies is gone from his.
He would die almost instantly.
Oh, there isn't a mark on his body.
Except the red rings on his face.
You call that skin mottling?
I thought it was, sir. Another error on my part.
Kirk smiles.
I'm not counting them bones. Are you in the mood for an apology?
Forget it. I probably was mooning over. I should have been thinking about my job.
Perhaps you were. Both Nancy and Crater went out of their way to mention one item they needed.
Salt tablets.
Mr. Spock, outfit a landing party. We're beaming down with some questions.
They go, leaving McCoy chewing his lip thoughtfully. On the planet, Kirk questions Crater.
One might think that you had more important duties than harassing people, Captain.
I have, Professor. Believe me, I have. Where is Mrs. Crater? I want to talk to her, too.
Captain, you can't just beam down here and bully us and interfere with our work.
Mrs. Crater, I won't ask again.
Possibly at the other diggings. We don't keep military logs.
Green finder.
Yes, sir.
The crewman goes.
Mr. Spock.
Standing by.
Sturgeon, transport a sample of the plant to Mr. Spock. We'll check if it's actually the Borgia plant or something we don't understand. You got that, Mr. Spock?
Complete analysis.
Captain, considering the inescapable fact that you are a trespasser on my planet...
Your complaint is noted, sir. Look, something we don't understand killed one of my men. It could prove to be a danger to you and Mrs. Crater, too.
We've been here for almost 5 years. If there were anything hostile here, we would know about it, wouldn't we?
Bones, tell the professor what the autopsy revealed.
Our crewman died of salt depletion. A sudden total loss of it. Medically impossible by any standards.
And by coincidence, both you and Mrs. Crater requested salt tablets.
And your esteemed physician cannot explain our need for salt tablets?
We're all aware of the need for salt on a hot and arid planet like this, Professor. But it's a mystery. And I don't like mysteries. Give me a bellyache, and I got a beauty right now.
Crater goes over to a wooden chest and brings out a large bottle.
Nancy and I started with 25 pounds. This is what we have left. Now, what is so mysterious about that?
Kirk looks at the handful of white pills in the bottom of the bottle and shows them to McCoy, who tastes one.
Salt.
Kirk hands the bottle back to Crater, who replaces it in the chest.
One of the missions of the Enterprise is to protect human life in places like this. I'm going to have to ask you and Mrs. Crater to stay aboard my ship until we find out what killed that crewman.
But you can't do that.
But I can, Professor.
You mustn't do it. It'll interfere with our work.
How? You've been here 5 years. Will a couple of days make a difference?
They face each other angrily. Kirk turns away and opens his communicator.
Mr. Spock.
Spock here.
Arrange quarters for Professor and Mrs. Crater. Did you get the plant analysis?
It is the Borgia variety, Captain. Could not have caused Darnell's death.
Jim, he's run off.
Outside, amid the ruins, Crater kneels over the body of the crewman sent to collect a Borgia plant.
Nancy! You! Salt! I've got salt! Smell it! Smell it, Nancy!
Professor Crater! Professor Crater!
Nancy, who's within earshot and kneeling over the body of crewman Green, gets to her feet, listening.
Professor Crater!
Crater slips away as McCoy and Kirk approach.
Professor Crater! Professor!
Jim! Jim! It's Sturgeon!
McCoy kneels over the body.
He's dead. Better locate crewman Green.
Green!
Like Sturgeon, Green's face is covered in circular red mottles.
Crewman Green, report!
Standing over the body, Nancy changes into Green.
Crewman Green, report!
The replica Green makes his way towards the shouting voices.
Green! Green, where are you?
McCoy looks up at Kirk.
Crater, he came this way.
I don't know.
The replica Green arrives.
Green!
Did you see this?
Yes, sir. Sturgeon was dead when I found him. I was circling to find whatever it was.
Same red rings on his face. Have you seen Nancy, Mrs. Crater?
No, sir. I checked all through the ruins.
I'm worried about her, Jim. She's not at the quarters. She's not at the diggings. She could be in trouble.
Nancy!
Crater!
Nancy, it's Leonard!
Beaming aboard the ship, Doctor.
You can't leave.
We can't search this whole planet on foot.
Jim!
You could learn something from Mr. Spock, Doctor. Stop thinking with your glands. We've equipment aboard the Enterprise that could pinpoint a match lit anywhere on this planet. Or the heat of a body. Transporter room. Kirk speaking. Three to beam up.
Green watches and listens with a malign, cunning, hungry look. On board the Enterprise orbiting the planet, the transporter chief beams Kirk, McCoy, and Green aboard. They materialize in beams of sparkling light. Kirk steps out of the chamber, hurries over to the transporter control console, and opens a communication channel.
Kirk to Bridge.
Spock here.
Break out the surface search equipment. I want coordinates on two people.
Acknowledged.
There's a body down there, Sturgeon.
We'll bring him home, sir.
Kirk turns to McCoy.
You could use some sleep, Bones.
All right, John.
They go. Green follows, warily taking in his unfamiliar surroundings. Kirk walks down one of the curving corridors into a turbo lift. He issues a voice command.
Bridge.
The lift descends. In a separate part of the ship, the alien life form, Green, notices a yeoman standing by the door of another turbo lift. She's carrying a tray of food. On it is a salt cellar. Green chews his knuckle anxiously and goes up to her.
Oh, Green, what went on down there?
She uses the salt cellar. Transfixed, Green reaches for it.
Who do you think you are?
Green looks around. The corridor is empty, but at that moment the lift opens and she steps inside. He follows her.
Something odd, Captain. You said two people.
Professor and Nancy Crater.
We get a reading on only one person. Probably Crater. He's circling as if searching for something.
Expand search radius.
Yes, sir.
Green follows the blonde yeoman out of the lift.
Why don't you go chase an asteroid?
Hey, Janice, is that for me?
Don't you wish it was?
She goes.
How about that?
Yeah, how'd you like to have her as your own personal yeoman?
The two crewmen gaze after her longingly. Green pushes past them. Janice comes down a corridor to a room marked Life Sciences Department Botany Section and goes inside with her tray. The room is full of strange, exotic plants. She pets one of them.
Where are you, Sulu?
In here feeding the weavers, Janice.
Well, I've got your tray.
May the great bird of the galaxy bless your planet.
Thank you. Hello, Beauregard. How are you today, darling?
Her name's Gertrude.
No, it's a he plant. A girl can tell.
Why do people have to call inanimate objects she? Like, she's a fast ship.
He is not an inanimate object. He's so animate, he makes me nervous. In fact, I keep expecting one of these plants of yours to grab me.
She turns from the plant she'd been talking to, an animated pink flower protruding from a thick, tube-like body. Outside in the corridor, a nervous-looking Green comes up to the door of the botany department. Slowly, he walks over to Sulu, staring fixedly at the tray of food.
Hello, Green.
He comes closer. The pink flower of the plant turns towards him as if sensing his presence.
He's not talking today.
Nervously licking his lips, Green stares at the salt cellar on the tray.
You been nipping sari in brandy or something?
Green turns as the flower of the plant writhes and disappears into its tubular body. Sulu and Janice watch him uneasily. Green hurries to the door and leaves. Sulu comforts and strokes the plant.
Take it easy. Calm down. Very sensitive.
He's the real spook. Suppose he's going space happy or something?
Outside in the corridor, Green looks around, chewing his knuckle in agitation. A lift arrives and two waiting crewmen step aside to let Lieutenant Uhura out. Green gazes at her.
Hey, the door to my quarters still rattles when it opens. Would you stop by and see if you can do something about it? Thanks, Bobby.
Green changes into a tall, handsome black crewman in blue overalls. As Uhura comes down the corridor, he steps into her path as if to speak to her. The shapely lieutenant stops and calmly looks up at him, raising a quizzical, arched eyebrow.
Crewman, do I know you?
In a way, ma'am. You were just thinking of someone like me. I'm guessing, of course, but you do look a little lonely.
I see. So naturally, when I'm lonely, I think of you.
Nina kudania, un mamalki musri.
Una kefiri, hur.
Uhura's dark almond-shaped eyes light up with pleasure.
Swahili.
She smiles, but the black crewman's eyes suddenly darken.
Lieutenant Uhura to the bridge.
He steps towards her. Uhura backs away. He slowly raises his hands as if about to strangle her when the door to the botany department suddenly opens.
Lieutenant Uhura to the bridge.
I better get this tray back. Bye, Beauregard.
Wait a minute. I'll walk along.
Lieutenant Uhura, report to the bridge.
Uhura hurries away to an intercom unit.
Lieutenant Uhura, on my way, sir.
With an anxious look back at the black crewman, she gets into the lift with Janice and Sulu. The Swahili presses his knuckles to his mouth and goes off down the corridor. Lying on a couch in his dimly lit quarters, McCoy stirs uneasily. He opens his eyes, gets up, and goes over to the view screen on his desk. Kirk's face appears.
McCoy to bridge. Captain there.
Kirk here.
Nothing to report, Doctor. We haven't located Mrs. Crater. What's the matter? Can't you sleep?
Nope.
Try taking one of those red pills you gave me last week. You'll sleep.
McCoy turns off the view screen, picks up a bottle of red pills, looks at it, and places it back down on his desk. The shape-shifting alien, still in the form of the Swahili crewman, steps out of a lift. Ahead of him, a member of a maintenance crew wearing a protective suit and carrying his helmet under his arm moves away down the corridor. The shapeshifter follows him. On the bridge, Spock turns from his scanner and goes over to Kirk.
Simple fact is, unless there's something seriously wrong with the ship's equipment, there's only one person within a 100-mile circle.
All right, we'll triangulate on him. We'll let Professor Crater explain what happened to his wife.
He turns to Uhura.
Remember my instructions, Lieutenant. Keep a tight fix on us. If we let out a yell, I want an armed party down there before the echo dies.
Yes, Captain.
Kirk and Spock leave the bridge. The shapeshifter wanders the corridors of the main hull in the form of the Swahili crewman. He notices a door marked Leonard McCoy, MD. The alien changes back into Nancy. McCoy's door opens.
Nancy! Well, come in, come in. I've been worried sick about you.
They go into his quarters.
Wonder why Jim didn't tell me he found you.
I'm so happy to see you, Leonard. The others, I don't relate to them as much as with you. You have such strong memories of me.
Well,
you do care, don't you, Leonard?
She reaches for him.
It makes me feel so... so safe.
Nancy,
My husband?
She leans her head on his chest.
I like your feelings better. Much stronger.
She strokes his face.
But you're tired. You need to rest.
You're as bad as Jim Kirk. He's been telling me to take these.
I think you should. I'll get you some water.
The body of the maintenance engineer lies in a corridor. Sulu and Janice come round a corner and discover him.
Look at his face!
Bridge Sulu. Trouble on deck 9, section 2. We need a medical team.
Sulu examines the mottled marks on the man's face.
Captain's log, stardate 1513.8. I am now certain that the violent death of my crewman was caused by some strange life form.
I was so worried. Your husband acting strange. Crewman dying.
You're so tired, darling. Just rest now.
Medical department alert. Doctors and medics, acknowledge.
It's nothing, dear. It's nothing. You just sleep. Nancy will take care of everything.
He sleeps. She rubs soothing fingers across his forehead, looks at her fingertips and is about to lick the salty sweat from them.
Dr. McCoy, to the bridge. Dr. McCoy, to the bridge.
His eyelids flicker, but he doesn't stir. Nancy gets up, goes to the door of his quarters, turns and looks back at the sleeping doctor. She watches for a moment and presses her knuckle to her mouth in the gesture shared by all her shape-changing incarnations.
Dr. McCoy, to the bridge.
The alien adopts McCoy's shape, gazing at the real doctor thoughtfully for a moment, then steps into the corridor. Kirk and Spock beam down to the planet's surface.
Captain's log, additional. Armed and able-bodied crewmen are not attacked and slaughtered this easily. Apparently the killer can immobilize them as it approaches, perhaps with some hypnotic or paralyzing power. The answer lies with Professor Crater.
Kirk sees Crater hiding out among the ruins.
Professor Crater!
Go away! We don't want you here!
We? Where's your wife, Professor? We're concerned about her.
I'm armed! Go away!
Kirk turns to Spock, who nods. They separate.
Where's your wife, Professor?
She's no concern of yours.
We're worried about her safety. Aren't you? Professor, you're a reasonable man. Let me...
He takes out his communicator.
Kirk here.
Casualty, Captain. Barnhart was found dead on Deck 9. Same symptoms.
Spock, trying to outflank Crater, comes across the body of Crewman Green.
Spock cutting in, Captain.
Something here through the arches to your left.
Stand by, Mr. Sulu. Spock has something.
He makes his way through the ruined arches and finds Spock kneeling over the crewman's body.
Green.
He beamed up to the ship with us.
Or something did.
Kirk looks at Green's mottled face, stands, and takes out his communicator.
Enterprise from Kirk.
Bridge, Sulu.
You have an intruder aboard. Could be masquerading as Crewman Green. General quarters. Security, condition 3.
GQ, security 3, sir. General quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
The Enterprise crew hurry down corridors to their stations.
General quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Reporting GQ 3 secure, Captain. Do you require assistance there?
Crater knows the creature. If we can take him alive.
Negative, Lieutenant. But keep locked in on us. Kirk out. Let's get him.
A laser beam. Kirk ducks into cover.
We don't want you here! We're happy alone! I'll kill to stay alone! You hear that, Kirk? Or you'll have to kill me! I don't care either way!
Obviously, taking him alive is going to be difficult.
Set your phaser on one cooler. I'll leave mine on stun.
Why risk your life for his?
He's not trying to kill us. He's trying to frighten us. And he's doing a pretty good job.
Spock points as he sees a movement and backs away from Kirk, crawling skirmish fashion on his elbows. On board the Enterprise, as McCoy sleeps, the alien McCoy arrives on the bridge.
GQ3, now secured except for decks 5, 7, and 10. Come in, please.
He's not in supply and maintenance, Sulu.
All right, Uhura. Engineering deck now. Run through 5 photos of the crewman there.
Check.
Deck 5 reporting. Crewman Green is not in his quarters. No one has seen him.
Keep in mind if you find him, he's not Crewman Green. Captain reports Green's dead.
And he, or rather, it followed me. I thought there was something twitchy about him.
He, or whatever. It's probably your crewman too, Lieutenant.
Well, he must have been it. No, I would have remembered a crewman like him.
The creature leading your merry chase, Mr. Sulu.
A creature?
Or whatever it is that's killing the crewman. Perhaps I can help. Fill me in.
Sulu looks at McCoy strangely. On the planet's surface, Kirk runs into the cover of another of the partially toppled stone archways. Spock, circling from the opposite direction, drops into the cover of some boulders as Carter peers out anxiously from behind a rock, his laser pistol ready. Kirk edges closer on his elbows and knees through the pale pink sand. Spock reaches for his communicator.
Set.
Acknowledged.
As Spock calls to him, Crater turns round.
Crater!
Kirk fires his phaser. Crater slumps back, stunned. Kirk and Spock run up, and Kirk grabs Crater's weapon.
My wife, Professor, where is she?
Crater gazes at the ground, disorientated, licking his lips and blinking.
Your wife, Professor, where is she?
She was the last of her kind.
Spock and Kirk glance at each other, mystified.
The last of her kind?
Crater nods.
Last of its kind.
He jerks his befuddled head back and looks at Kirk.
Earth history, remember? Like the passenger pigeon or the buffalo. Ooh, I feel strange.
Just done. You'll be able to think in a minute.
The Earth buffalo. What about it?
Once there were millions of them. Prairies black with them. One herd covered three whole states. And when they moved, like thunder.
And now they're gone. Is that what you mean?
Crater nods.
Like the creatures here. Once there were millions of them. Now there's one left. Nancy understood.
Spock looks at Kirk.
Always in the past tense.
Where's your wife? Where is she now?
Dead. Buried up on the hill that killed her.
When?
A year. Was it two?
Kirk to Enterprise.
Bridge to Captain. Sulu here.
It's definite, Mr. Sulu. The intruder can assume any shape. A crewman, you, myself, anyone. Do you understand?
Affirmative, Captain.
Go to GQ-4.
General Quarters 4, Captain.
The creature was trying to survive. It has that right, doesn't it?
Kirk to transporter room. 3 to beam up.
They needed salt to stay alive. There was no more salt. It's the last one. The buffalo. There is no difference.
There's one, Professor. Your creature is killing my people.
Spock and the Captain look at the still confused archaeologist.
Captain's log, continuing. The Enterprise has been invaded by a creature capable of assuming any form and with a capacity to paralyze and draw the life from any one of us.
Deck 5, Section 3. Deck 5, Section 3. Report.
Security 3A here. 3B inside.
McCoy sleeps in his cabin.
Negative, Captain. I've checked every face on this vessel. It was not a crewman I saw.
General Ryan, how long was this green with you?
As long as he... It thought it could get to the salt in my tracer.
Mr. Spock?
Supplies of salt have been set out as bait at all decks and engineering levels, Captain. However, no one or nothing has approached them as yet.
Dr. McCoy?
Yes?
Medical department report, Doctor.
Oh. Well, we could offer it salt without tricks. There's no reason for it to attack us.
Your attitude is laudable, Doctor, but your reasoning is reckless.
The creature is not dangerous when fed.
No, it's simply trying to survive by using its natural ability to take other forms.
The way the chameleon uses its protective coloring, an ability retained, no doubt, from its primitive state. The way we have retained our incisor teeth. They were once fangs. Certain of our muscles were designed for chase. It uses its ability the way we would use our muscles and teeth, if necessary, to stay alive.
And like us, it's an intelligent animal. It's, there's no need to hunt it down.
A very interesting hypothesis, Doctor. Briefing room.
All the halls sealed off. All weapons accounted for and locked away. Security 4 in effect on every level. Still no lead on intruder.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Continue the search. Crater. We don't know who or what we're looking for. We need your help, and now.
I demand it. I even beg that you get off my planet.
Can you recognize this thing when you see it?
Crater and the alien McCoy both look uneasy.
Professor, I'll forego charges up to this point. But this creature's aboard my ship, and I'll have it. Or I'll have your skin, or both. Now, where is it?
Kirk and Crater eye each other across the briefing room table. Spock watches the confrontation intently.
I loved Nancy very much. Few women like my Nancy. She lives in my dreams. She walks and sings in my dreams.
And it becomes Nancy for you.
Not because of tricks. It doesn't trick me. It needs love as much as it needs salt. When it killed Nancy, I almost destroyed it, but it isn't just a beast. It is intelligent and the last of its kind.
You bleed too much, Crater. You're too pure and noble.
You saving the last of its kind, or has this become Crater's private heaven here on this planet?
This thing becomes wife, lover, best friend, wise man, fool, idol, slave. Isn't a bad life to have everyone in the universe at your beck and call. And you win all the arguments.
You don't understand.
Have you learned to see this thing in whatever form it becomes?
Yes.
Are you going to help us find it?
The alien McCoy waits anxiously for Crater's answer.
Sorry, I can't.
Recommend we use truth serum, Captain.
Doctor.
McCoy looks distracted.
Well, I resist using it, but in this case, the professor will give us the truth.
Take him.
Spock gets up. McCoy gets to his feet and looks back at Crater, who remains seated.
I'll accompany you, Doctor.
Oh, yes, of course.
Crater stands, and the alien McCoy leads him away. As the Enterprise orbits the planet, all over the vessel, red state of alert lights flash.
Captain Kirk to dispensary. Captain Kirk to dispensary. Urgent.
Kirk runs in, followed by Janice. Spock is lying on the medical bed while a medic performs a scan.
It wasn't McCoy. It was the creature. It hit me. Crater grabbed my phaser. Wondered about McCoy. Doubt had crossed my mind.
Captain.
They look through into the sick bay.
Professor Crater.
Dead.
Kirk turns to Spock.
But it had you too.
Fortunately, my ancestors spawned in another ocean than yours did. My blood cells are quite different.
The alien returns to McCoy's quarters and changes back into Nancy. She runs to the bed.
Leonard, wake up. Please help me. Help me, Leonard. They're trying to kill me. Don't let them kill me.
Oh, easy. Nobody's going to...
But you must help me.
They look up as the door opens and Kirk stands in the doorway, a phaser in his hand.
Move aside, Bones.
What's going on here, Jim?
She's not Nancy, Bones.
The creature's eyes narrow. McCoy gets to his feet.
Are you insane?
It killed four crewmen. Now Crater.
It?
The creature. It kills. It needs salt to live. Bones, move aside.
No!
My guess is she needs more. You want it, Nancy?
He opens his hand and holds out half a dozen salt pills. Nancy looks at them longingly and gets to her feet.
Come and get it.
You're frightening her, Jim.
Not fright. Hunger. Look at her.
Leonard, if you love me, make him go away.
Come on. You want this, Nancy? Come on, Nancy, come and get it. Come and get it. Here it is.
Leonard, help me.
I can't find her. Get out of the way. Will you
stop it? Get out. McCoy, get out of the way.
What's the matter with you? Hey, you want this?
Get out of your mind.
Get out of the way.
McCoy wrestles the gun from Kirk's hand. Nancy grabs the pills and swallows them. Kirk pushes McCoy away and turns on Nancy, but she immobilizes him with a gesture, then takes his face in her fingers. McCoy stares in disbelief but does nothing. Spock comes in.
It's killing the captain. Shoot it, Doctor, quickly.
No!
Spock pushes Nancy away.
It's killing the captain. Shoot, quick!
I won't shoot Nancy.
This is not Nancy. If she were Nancy, could she take this?
Stop it! Stop it, Spock!
Let's do it!
Nancy, who has withstood repeated double-fisted blows from Spock, fells him with a simple slap.
Is that Nancy, Doctor?
No.
Nancy advances towards Captain Kirk, reaching for his face with her fingers. Nancy turns and looks at McCoy. As she does so, she changes into a hideous alien with green skin, long silver hair, and a sucker-shaped mouth lined with teeth. Her hands have suckers on each finger. She grasps Kirk's face. McCoy fires the phaser, and the creature falls into the corner of the room. Kirk slumps forward onto a table, holding his head in his hands. The creature raises its head, turns towards McCoy, and changes back into Nancy.
Let it know.
She staggers towards him.
Let it, please.
Lord, forgive me.
Nancy collapses to the floor, face down, one arm stretched in front of her, reaching towards McCoy. She changes back into the alien. Spock and Captain Kirk stare at the creature, its body covered in thick silver-gray fur, its head twisted to one side. Kirk looks up at McCoy sympathetically.
I'm sorry, Bones.
McCoy, still in shock, stares down at the lifeless alien. Later, he stands beside the captain's chair on the bridge of the Enterprise as the starship prepares to leave the planet. Sulu is at the helm.
Ready to leave orbit, Captain.
Kirk doesn't react. Sulu looks at Spock.
Something wrong, Captain?
Kirk starts, looks up at Spock, and smiles.
I was thinking about the buffalo, Mr. Spock.
He turns and looks at McCoy standing beside him. The doctor, only half listening, gives Kirk a faint, melancholy smile.
Warp one, Mr. Sulu.
Warp one, sir. Leaving orbit.
In the view screen, the planet rapidly recedes as the starship heads into deep space. This audio description was produced by IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.